Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes I get into trouble with a sermon, you know, that could be the holy liberty of the children of God, of which St. Paul speaks, and indeed our own patroness, remember, St. Gertrude the Great, was known for her liberty of spirit. Liberty, now that's a word you're going to hear a lot around the 4th of July each year, Independence Day. But I don't want to speak about liberty today, but rather another shibboleth, which is on the minds and in the writing, the tongues of many, many speeches today will allude to democracy. And we hear, of course, because it's an election year, unfortunately, a lot of talk about the Democrats. Once I got myself into trouble with a sermon in Louisiana, in which this was back in the unhappy Clinton years, I criticized Clinton and the Democrats. But of course, in Louisiana, that's the South, that's the home still of some last of the Dixiecrats, as they were called, conservative Southerners who voted Democratic traditionally going back to the days after the Civil War. And so what would be unthinkable for us to vote Democrat, maybe for others under other circumstances, is quite thinkable. Father Chicada mentioned to me that he was visiting with his sister and brother-in-law last weekend, and his brother-in-law was teasing his sister that she had voted Democrat for the first time, but it seems that she belongs to the Teachers Union, and of course in Wisconsin, that would be de rigueur. You have to vote Democrat. When we hear the word Democrat, even democracy, you might think more in terms of another similar word from the Greek root, which is demagogue. Both come from the Greek demos, meaning people, and both originally were just matter-of-fact terms, or even with a positive, not a pejorative connotation. Democracy, the rule of the people, and demagoguery or demagogue is someone technically who leads the people, but we always use the word demagogue as a someone who manipulates popular prejudices to get power from the people. In other words, a demagogue is essentially a politician. But in the old days, not that long ago really, maybe in the middle of the last century and before, Democrat was a respectable word, and more than one preacher or writer of the Catholic Church would refer to our Blessed Savior himself as a true Democrat. That is to say, a Democrat truly is someone who loves the people wholeheartedly. Not the democracy of the demagogues, and certainly not that of the Freemasons, the bloody French Revolution, with its false love of the brotherhood of fraternity, its false equality, its false liberty. There's a lot of to-do and talk, of course, there always is about democracy. Some people will say, of course, probably correctly so, that our country is a republic and not a democracy, and we should keep it that way. But whenever we talk about these things, there's so much of a possibility to go astray unless we are guided by the clear thinking of Catholic philosophy. And the more the Catholic Church is barred from civil life, and this goes back to the origins of our country, the more secularizing, laicizing, and then confusion all enter into the public mind and thinking. It's the Catholic Church who's got the ideas. It's the Catholic Church which has the ideals. It's the Catholic Church that has all of the correct distinctions. If, unfortunately, the Catholic Church failed the world, as she did to a certain degree in the last century with all of the wars, or even throughout our American history when so many American bishops were more concerned with going along to get along, instead of opening up their treasures and giving of their treasures to all who stood in need of that clear, correct thinking, the beautiful philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, reality itself, and our Lord's example and that of the saints. Well, what a shame. You look at some of the politics of the popes in the last century, Benedict the 15th after the war, and their naivete, great naiveness. Pius XI, Pius XII, how much hope they put in secular democracy, and Pius XII blessing the United Nations, for example, at its inception. The Church, in a sense, has indeed failed, but the Catholic Church, her teachings, her founder, her glorious saints, has never even been tried, not in our country, and really in very few countries throughout the history of the world. And that's why you will rarely find a true spirit of democracy anywhere, unless you find the Catholic Church, which of course is not a democracy in one sense concerning her government, but is quite a monarchy, unless you find that enthroned and honored and put into practice. But when we say democracy, we're speaking about that idea of all souls being loved infinitely by before Almighty God, and in that sense, a certain kind of a equality of all, and a true brotherhood, as we say, fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man. The Catholic Church then recognizing no essential distinction, how she was the very first to finally, towards modern times, to condemn and to forbid slavery, and how the Catholic Church recognizes, you see it at Mass, you see it at Communion, she recognizes absolutely no distinction between the highborn and the lowborn. Everybody comes to the same Mass, everybody goes to the same rail, everybody uses the same confessional. And her law is the same for the rich as well as for the poor. At least it is meant to be, unless it is abused. Nor does the Catholic Church have any interest in race baiting. That's all naturalism. That's the movements of the last century, totally forbidden by the Church. And indeed, the Catholic Church, as it were, created a new race in Mexico. The combination of the Spanish Castilian blood with that of the native Indians makes the Mexican people. Why did she do it? For the salvation of souls, to create a Christian civilization, which then right away the Blessed Mother herself appeared in order to bless, convert, and embrace Our Lady of Guadalupe. That same democratic spirit in the Catholic Church, you can find in the government, the constitutions of the religious orders, and how she always is deprecating any kind of absolutism in government, the idea of treating people like chattel, like possessions. No, there's always a wondrous spirit of charity and of love that is to be found wherever the Catholic Church truly reigns. The Church is the only true democracy in this sense, and the Church remains the true ideal of democracy. Our Lord will tell us in this coming Sunday's Gospel, I have compassion on the multitude. Because the devil is the ape of God, because the devil wants to get all of the good things and twist and pervert them, that's the reason why you have so many who use these words but use them falsely and incorrectly. You know, the classic American ideal has got some good in it and some bad, because there's no clear Catholic thinking. There's no bright, unhindered echo of revelation. There's no magisterial teaching. And so you have a mishmash and a mixture of some ideas that are good and some that are evil. And that's naturalism and the whole Masonic movement of the bloody anti-Catholic revolutions. So there's no hope. There's no hope for our country. There's no hope for peace in this world of ours, unless there is hope for the Church, and she must be restored first, so that she may indeed restore all of society in Christ our King. It's not going to be in secular politics. It won't be in international movements and peace conferences and United Nations and all of the rest. It's going to be through God, through His Christ, through the Church, and through the saints. Be proud to be a Catholic. Know that in being a good Catholic, you are the very most patriotic of Americans, and you're the very best kind of an American. If you are true to your faith, you will have a due and a proper love for your land, and you will give the very best example of all of these words that are more honored in the breach than in the observance. I mean freedom, equality, brotherhood, liberty, and democracy. It's the saints who leave us that lovely example of being lovers of the brotherhood. The saint whom we honor all summer long at St. Gertrude the Great gives us a wonderful example of that. I was just reading yesterday in the front page of the New York Times about poor people now being cast into debt and eventually cast into prison because they get themselves all mixed up in private probation supervision companies. They get more and more into debt. They can't afford their probation fees. They don't know exactly what's going on. Just as the poor who are more and more in debt for years now concerning house mortgages and all of the rest, all of those evils go back to usury and the idea, indeed, of imprisoning the poor for their debt. It was St. Anthony of Padua who influenced the civil leaders in the 13th century to pass a law abolishing prisons for poor people and forbidding usury. Usury, the charging of high interest, is traditionally the Hebrew or the Jewish reserve in economics. And of course, it forms the whole economics of the modern world today. Talmudic Jewry. Nothing at all to do with our faith, and one of the sins that cries to heaven for vengeance, a sin against the natural law. It was St. Anthony in his day and in his place who, by his preaching and by his influence on the government, was able to relieve the poor of all these horrible debts and burdens that were placed on them. And yet, those debts and burdens that were placed on the poor back then are as nothing which we bear in our so-called democracy today, as St. Anthony, who is just one, but a great one, of the many, many examples of the true Catholic democratic spirit to intervene in favor of our nation and of all of these ideals, which are, after all, Catholic ideals. Be lovers of the brotherhood. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.